Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Matthew Gardner, the director of the Judy Garland A Star Is Born Cabaret at Signature.
And
my name is Katie Mariko Murray, and I'm a singer in this production.
You will be singing.
I will be singing. Yes.
And we want to clarify, you're not going to be dressed as Judy Garland or anything like that. Is you're going to take the stage and belt some of her most famous hits.
Right. Correct? I will not be portraying her, but singing her songs for sure.
Okay, how does the idea come about? Because we're calling it A Star Is Born. Obviously, that movie had a ton of buzz, the new one with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. Are you just thinking, it's a remake of the Judy Garland movie? Let's have a tribute.
When we decided to do this cabaret, it had nothing to do with the Lady Gaga movie coming out. That was sort of serendipitous. I have always loved Judy Garland. I've always loved the movie A Star Is Born. I think that there's no singer that's quite like her that was able to connect with an audience who sort of changed the way singers sort of worked in her time. So anyways, I have always wanted to do a cabaret of just her music. We did a Streisand one last year at Signature, so it seemed like
another
the right
star
time.
Is born.
Exactly, another star is born.
What was it about her I want to go into the songs in a second, but about her voice itself. Is it the vibrato? Is that it kind of has that like shaky quality at some points? You know what I'm talking about?
To me she's not necessarily the most refined singer that's ever lived, although Maria Callas said she had the greatest instrument ever and Bing Crosby said there's never been a voice like hers. More to me is that the way she connected to the material and the warmth in her voice, and she just brought everything. And I think people like Lady Gaga and Barbara Streisand all sort of emulate her. She's been huge sort of in the music and in the film world.
You were saying about her vibrato. In singing her material, it's very low. Her voice is, you could call her contralto. So it's like, the comfortable part of her voice is like the lower range, and it's almost like speaking range. So it's almost like immediately relatable, and it sounds doable, but it's hard. It's really hard. And in learning her music and familiarizing ourselves with it, it's like, it's really a time capsule. Like the 40s and 50s, she really was at the top of her time. But to know that this music resonates with us a lot. And I think that's what's exciting about sharing it in like a new way in this kind of encapsulated version of our show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people forget that this, similar to the Gaga conversation now, but a lot of people thought that A Star Is Born was going to be finally when she got her big Best Actress Oscar. And I think she lost to Grace Kelly.
Yeah.
For The Country Girl, even though if you think in hindsight, it should have been Rear Window that year. She did both that year. That's insane.
Well, and it's crazy they tell the story about her. She had just given birth to her son, and she was in the hospital bed, and all the cameras were pointed at her because everybody thought she was going to win. And the envelope was opened, and they announced Grace Kelly's name. And they, the story goes that the cameras were out of that room faster than Grace Kelly could get to the stage to accept her award.
That's so crazy. Yeah. Well, speaking of that, the song that you're going to perform from that is The Man That Got Away.
Yes.
That's such a great one.
Yes.
Tell me about that song. Remind our listeners that if maybe they haven't heard it, what it's about and why it's such a joy to sing that.
The Man That Got Away, Matt and I have talked about it. It's like, we think one of the best songs ever written, especially for the female voice and the storytelling is heartbreaking. It's just, I think it's immediately relatable for any listener. And it's like Judy, it's guttural. It's like straight from the bottom of her gut and the bottom of her heart. And it's a painful song. And yet you can, I think, relate to like the joy of what once was and then the reflection of not having that anymore. I think it's a hard song to sing. It's a big song, but it demands a lot of attention. It demands a lot of, it asks a lot, I think, of the singer to be like, to sing those big, big ending. It's cathartic.
Yeah.
And
to put yourself into it emotionally.
Yeah.
I just think of James Mason doing that suicidal walkout into the waves. It's every time I hear that.
Yeah.
All you kids that this was the Shallows of 1954.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Shallow. I mean, I really liked Shallow when I saw it in the movie. I think the beginning of that song is so strong, but I think the chorus lacks in comparison to The Man That Got Away. I think the whole of The Man That Got Away is like, is a solid piece as opposed to Shallow. I'm like, once we get to the chorus, I'm like, oh man, like,
yeah. The history of that song is really interesting in the original film too, that they knew how iconic, like they sort of knew how iconic that song would be. And so they filmed it three different times and three different sets, three different looks. They just felt like they were never getting it right. And finally the version you saw was after like 40 different takes of the song.
Wow. Yeah, I think now it's one of the American Film Institute's top movie songs ever. Really high on the list, too. Yeah. Okay, well, we got to go into Meet Me in St. Louis, right? Mm-hmm. There's got to be some from that. The movie itself, this is important in her life, too, right? This movie that literally birthed Liza Minnelli because she fell for director Vincent Minnelli, and they had the rest is history. But what song are we doing from this? There's so many good ones.
So many good ones. I'm singing the trolley song.
Yes.
Clang, clang, clang. And my friend Awa is singing The Boy Next Door.
Oh, that's a good one.
Just such great songs. We love the movie, and I wish you could do like more from.
Yeah, how do you choose? Because what else is in there? There's the title
song. There's the title song. There's Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. We're probably past that time of year now.
A lot of people forget it came from that movie.
Yeah, it came from that movie. And I mean, those are the iconic ones.
Yeah.
I noticed that it was on your list of best holiday movies.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for throwing it in there. But this song itself, why did we say, you know what? Let's go with the clang, 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 with the trolley.
I think there would be riots if we didn't include it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny. People have contacted me and been like, are you putting anything from Gay Paris? Are you putting anything from these like sort of obscure Garland movies? And there are some obscure things in our show, but for the most part, I'm like, there are too many good songs to be putting in like a random song from these other shows. So obviously, Trolley Song and The Boy Next Door were like no-brainers. It's like, if I don't include those, if I don't include The Man That Got Away or Somewhere Over the Rainbow, people are going to be up in arms.
Yeah. Well, you did the segue for me. But yes, the one we have to do is Wizard of Oz. Over the Rainbow. That's the AFI. I think that when they did their poll, that was the number one movie song ever. And how can you argue that? And it was almost cut from the movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I believe they almost cut it. And then I thank God they did it.
Yes.
Right.
Talk about how rewarding and also challenging that one is, because I'm sure you watched that growing up, Wizard of Oz. I wore that tape out as a kid. I'm sure all of us did. Probably seen that more than any movie ever. But talk about watching that as a kid and now getting to sing it.
Yeah, that was my introduction to Judy as a kid, hearing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And I think that my perception of Judy is not necessarily built on her as Dorothy, even though that's like so iconic and that's how America really will remember her. But like it's more later, like she won the Grammy for Best Album of the Year. She was the first woman to win Album of the Year for her concert at Carnegie Hall. Mm-hmm. And for me as a singer, that like changed my life, because you could just hear like the wear and tear on her voice, how she was like once so innocent, the sound was so innocent and raw, and then it just grew into this like depth, beauty, awesome sound. And then Somewhere Over the Rainbow is, I think, a hard song, because you're singing like that, the first two notes is an octave, and it's again low, and I'm a soprano. I sing higher stuff, but I think that that song is, because it's so easily recognizable, it's holds a place in people's hearts. That's like, it kind of doesn't matter who the singer is. You will always, you can always enjoy that song.
Yeah, and just looking at the way she, over the years, performed it, and the way it, listening to different recordings of her doing it, and the meaning of it changed, and the song means something different to me now than it did when I was a 5-year-old sitting at my TV watching it over and over and over and over again. There's regret and there's longing and there's hope in the song. There's so many emotions and colors in it that go far beyond what was in the original. You know, what we think of when we think of Somewhere Over the Rainbow is this very simple, pretty song.
Right, because you immediately think nostalgically back on what it meant to you as a kid, and then when you re-examine it now, you're just getting goosebumps thinking about it.
So
those are the big ones, obviously. You have to do Wizard of Oz, you have to do Meet Me in St. Louis, and you have to do A Star is Born.
Yep.
What are some of those aforementioned more obscure ones that you've peppered in between?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, the whole show opens with a song called You Gotta Have Me Go With You, which is from A Star Is Born, but most people don't know it. So that should be like an interesting way to kick off the show. Most people don't know that Johnny Mercer, a lot of the songs that he wrote for Judy Garland. So the story goes that he wrote One for My Baby, the Frank Sinatra song, with Judy Garland in mind. We're not singing that, but we're singing Old Black Magic, which is a song that he wrote about her and she recorded a brilliant version of. And then there's, what are some other obscure ones? On the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, which it won an Oscar for Best Song, so it's not that obscure. And it's a well-known one of hers. By Myself, which is from one of her last films.
Get Happy?
We're doing the Barbara Streisand, Judy Garland duet, which is Get Happy, put with Happy Days Are Here Again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and... Now all of them are flying out of my brain, but for the most part, they're recognizable. I think what will be fun for the audience is when they come to see it is just sitting back and letting us sort of take them on this journey and surprise them with which song is next. And hopefully it will, if they're Judy Garland fans, hopefully it will sort of take them back to the first time they saw those movies or heard her sing those songs. And if they're not, they're great songs.
Yeah.
And you should know them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate... You know, because you said you did the Streisand tribute and you've done other ones. Do you anticipate people just, did they sing along in the crowd or mostly just sit and watch in awe? Or how does it, what do you expect with the Garland?
Yeah, the best is people just, when something starts playing, people just go, you hear like the breath, like the gasp, like it's here, yes. Yeah. I remember when like singing Evergreen or any of those songs by Streisand. It was just like every one song after the other of the audience just flipping out every time the first notes would begin.
And even if you don't know the music, I think the way that we've arranged it and the storytelling, it's like if you don't know anything about Judy Garland, it's fascinating. Her life is absolutely fascinating. And I think we're having a lot of fun just like singing these songs, hearing these songs on our voices. Like this is like...
You know, a lot of people have asked me, did you pick Katie Mariko Murray and Awa Salseca because they sound like Judy Garland, they sing like Judy Garland? No. I think that both of their voices fit well into the style, but more than anything, I wanted to pick two singers that I believe are great storytellers and sort of sing with the same passion and depth that Judy Garland did. And I think that that's what... don't come to see a Judy Garland impersonation because we're not going to give you that. Come to hear her music and see a group of people who have a great deal of respect and love for this amazing artist and can bring themselves to it.
Awesome.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys. Again, it's Judy Garland, A Star Is Born, January 8th through 26th at Signature Theater in lovely Shirlington. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yes.